What is going on? Happy day after Thanksgiving, everybody. This is the NFL Fantasy Live podcast, and no, this is not the raspy voice of James Coe. I am Marcus Grant, alongside the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhardt. Do I have the right to say that name? Is that
I think
trademarked?
You can. I don't think it's trademarked
by
okay. James Coe.
Great. Well, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhardt, behind the glass, as always. But a couple... I won't say new voices because they've been on the show before, but it's nice to have the fantasy stronghold. For those of you who don't understand, in the newsroom, the four of us sit in kind of a little pod and we exchange ideas.
Pleasantries. And a lot of jazz.
And sometimes unpleasantries as well. But we are welcoming in for a special edition Matt Franciscovich, a.k.a. The Franchise. You can find him on Twitter at Matt Franchise. And Matt Harmon. It's the Matt and Matt Show. How are you guys doing?
What's up?
Doing good. Terrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excited to come on the podcast and correct a few things. Like, I'm not from West Virginia, and Marcus, my beard is not fake.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that out of the way.
It's the correction right pod.
He's been waiting all week. He found out he was going to be on the podcast. He's like,
there's been so much slander, and you know how I feel about slander.
I mean, you know, I'm surprised he didn't have Carrie Underwood say I've been waiting all day for Friday morning.
Yeah. Get her to pre-record that as well.
So, of course, we do have a full show. There was plenty of football action on Thanksgiving Day. We'll have some headlines for you, some really big injuries to keep an eye on. Look at some matchups for the rest of Week 12. And because it is Black Friday, we'll have some fantasy dilemmas that we'll talk about later. And, of course, we'll finish up, as we always do, with the Daily Daps. But let's back up to Thursday. Three games on the schedule on Thursday. One of them was actually entertaining. But we'll get to that one a little bit later. We'll start with the first game of the day, the Lions. Actually brings some Thanksgiving Day joy to the city of Detroit. Feels like it's been a while since that's happened. They just rampaged the Eagles 45-14. It was all about Matt Stafford, and Calvin Johnson looked like Megatron again this week, guys. I mean, it's been a while since we have seen Calvin Johnson have a huge week, but I mean, Alex, he looked like Megatron.
It was good to see. I didn't get to read the article this morning, but Matthew Stafford apparently was praising Jim Bob Cooter's aggressive play calling, and you could see that. They were pushing the ball downfield. They were doing some more creative things. And, Megatron hadn't, found the end zone in, like, a couple weeks or only, like, once or twice all year, so he was a candidate for some touchdown regression. Didn't expect three in one game, but, yeah, it was good. It was encouraging to see from an offense that for most of the season has been a colossal disappointment.
Yeah, I just, you know, here's a weird thing, though. I mean, he had the three touchdowns. It's great. I'm not complaining, especially because I think I'm running up against you, Franchise, and I have him in my lineup this week.
That's correct.
He still has one 100-yard game for the season.
Yeah, he only had 93 yards.
But, I mean, Franchise, at this point...
We'll take it.
Have we reached the start everybody against the Eagles portion of the season now?
I think we have. I think a big reason Calvin had such a big game is Eric Rowe, that rookie defensive back, was on him in, like, man-to-man coverage the whole game, and Stafford just exploited it. Even the play-by-play guys were talking about how they felt bad for him because it was just not fair.
It's probably not a good sign.
So, yeah.
It helped. Nolan Carroll went out of that game with, a broken ankle.
Yeah, that was a ghastly injury.
So that obviously changed a lot of things.
Yeah,
there.
The Eagles just look horrible recently.
They look like they've quit.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like, it's one of those guys aren't trying. Like, you couldn't tell me that one of the routes where Calvin Johnson came back and ran a curl, that Byron Maxwell was actually trying to cover him. Like,
He didn't care.
Byron Maxwell has kind of been a dumpster fire this year.
Yeah.
And certainly, if you ask anybody around or any Eagles fans, they will – you not hesitate to let you know how awful he's been this year. I guess on the flip side, though, because of that, you know, it's 2 weeks in a row Matt Stafford has been pretty good. I mean, he had a nice week a couple weeks ago against the Raiders. Obviously, the five touchdowns, 337 yards. I mean, Harmon, are we believing in Matt Stafford now, or is this just, you know, matchups, basically?
Well, I kind of think we are to the point that as a matchup-based quarterback, you definitely expect a high ceiling from him. I mean, that Lions offense is pretty tough to deal with when they're firing at all cylinders. I mean, Riddick has pretty much a wide receiver skill set coming out of the backfield. Amir Abdullah looked really good yesterday, which was nice to see.
So we haven't said that in a while.
Yeah. We haven't said that since the preseason, was it, last time we complimented him?
Pretty much.
So he looked great. And, yeah, obviously when Calvin Johnson's at top form, he's one of the best receivers in the league. And Golden Tate is a really good weapon out of the slot, too. So when all those guys are firing on all cylinders and they're not trying to funnel targets to Eric Ebron or give touches to Joik Bell, it's a good offense, and Stafford's at the helm of it, and it looks like that Mr. Cooter has
Hey, by the way, don't knock Joik Bell. I mean, he had, what, almost 80 yards? He did have a touchdown.
I'll take whatever shots we can
knock Joik Bell.
On the other side of this, I know we don't have many things written or to say about the Eagles, but they're terrible. I mean, offensively, they're just bad. You know, they got the touchdown late when the game was certainly well out of hand, which, I mean, I guess if you're still forcing Jordan Matthews into your lineup, congratulations.
Yeah.
Because you got that late touchdown.
That was like the most garbage touchdown I've ever seen.
Garbage touchdown.
It's the second one of the year, too. He had the one in week two against the Cowboys.
Right. Yeah. It's frustrating as hell watching this offense, too, because they have talented players, but it's like Chip is so stuck in his own system that he won't make changes that will benefit his offense and his players. Like, stop running DeMarco Murray on stretch plays. Put him in the I formation, or just let him run between the tackles.
Yeah, I don't understand that. You know, and maybe I get it, you know, in the last couple of weeks when you haven't had Ryan Matthews, and so you're kind of forcing DeMarco to do things he can't do. But this was going on when Ryan Matthews was healthy and on the field. They're trying to stretch him out to the outside. I don't get it. You know, Mark Sanchez, 199, two touchdown passes. He didn't have any interceptions. He did lose a fumble. It was not a butt fumble.
It's disappointing.
So
even Darren Sproles couldn't get anything going. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I will admit, I whiffed on the Eagle offense. I feel like a lot of us whiffed on the Eagle offense this year. We kind of bought in. Maybe it was the talk of kale smoothies or something, but.
Practice playlists and other things.
All these things. I mean, we expected this, especially in the preseason. They came out in a couple games, and they were on fire. They looked like a juggernaut. It just hasn't worked. And I know, Harmon, you know, you have this thought that I buy into it. You just can't run an offense through a slot receiver, and they don't have anybody on the outside who scares defenses right now.
Yeah, if you look at all the offenses in the league where their primary guy is coming out of the slot, there are super inconsistent offenses. Miami, Green Bay, who we'll talk about later, all those guys, their top threats are in the slot, and the offense comes and goes because of it. I think one of Chip's biggest failures is that he's tried to treat outside wide receivers as kind of, you know, interchangeable assets. Like, he's funneling in like Riley Cooper, Miles Austin, Josh Huff, Nelson Aguilar. None of those guys can really get settled on the outside, and I think that's been a big problem. He's taken the two, you know, really let Jeremy Maclin walk. They gave away DeSean Jackson. So I think that's been the biggest problem with the offense, is they don't have any perimeter threats. And the whole thing is just way too easy to defend.
So at this point, you know, you're not starting any of the Eagles quarterbacks. When Bradford's back, you're probably not starting him. So right now it's what? DeMarco Murray is a matchup-based guy, and, you know, Ryan Matthews is a flex potentially when he's back and healthy. I mean, is that it?
DeMarco's a solid RB2, RB1, because he's just going to continue to get fed touches.
Yeah, the question with the volume.
Yeah, the question with him, though, is – didn't a few of the players come out in the media and question his effort, too? Because I knew he had that, like, ridiculous slide.
Yeah, that didn't get him a first down or whatever.
I've rarely seen a running back take a slide.
I couldn't tell you the last time I ever saw a running back slide.
I think the only time I can remember seeing, you know, it's like, was it Brian Westbrook when he was like, didn't score a touchdown or something? Unless it's like a strategic reason.
Just sliding to avoid a hit, like, that's your job.
So I think that's something you have to watch with pretty much this whole team. I mean, he's really the only fantasy asset, like we mentioned. But with all these guys, when teams start to get to this point where they're just getting thumped every week by pretty much inferior opponents, it's like, when do we get on, you know, give up watch?
Yeah.
It's not good.
Well, you know, and they've lost three in a row to teams that in theory they could have or should have beaten.
Yeah.
The scary part is they are still sort of in the hunt in
the
NFC East. Speaking of teams sort of in the hunt in the NFC East, I guess we can officially write off the Dallas Cowboys.
The hunt is over.
Right? It is over.
It is over.
They lose on Thanksgiving 33-14 to the Panthers in a game that wasn't even that close. Carolina dominated it from start to finish, really. It started with the pick six from Kurt Coleman. Luke Kuechly had a pick six. He had interceptions on back-to-back plays.
Luke Kuechly did, yes.
Yeah. Pick six.
And I think I tweeted at that point that Tony Romo was putting the giving in Thanksgiving. That was kind of how that day went. Offensively for the Panthers, they won the game, obviously, and they dominated it. It wasn't a huge day for them. I mean, Cam Newton just had 183 passing yards. He did have the rushing touchdown. And, I mean, that was the only offensive touchdown they scored in that ball game. It wasn't really a great day to have a Panther player, offensive player at least, on your team this week.
Nope. Yeah, no, it wasn't. They didn't really have to do much.
No,
we said
they got so comfortably ahead in that game, and the offense wasn't on the field that often because they kept getting the pick sixes and stuff.
Yeah, the Dallas defense is okay too. Like, it's not a bottom five unit in the league. They can be exploited.
They're not like last year or the year before when it was terrible.
Yeah, so they have some players there, and they definitely stopped Carolina on a few crucial third downs, so they couldn't really mount a lot of drives. But yeah, it just was one of those games where your fantasy players are going to disappoint because of the game script.
I mean, looking through this and just kind of looking at the numbers here, I mean, Jericho Cotchery was the leading receiver with 73 yards. Greg Olsen, just doing his thing with 70 yards. I was watching it, and they kept talking up Devin Funchess, and he has become a bigger part of the offense, but I mean, I don't know what to say about him, Alex, other than he's just right now, I mean, you're not starting Devin Funchess, are you?
In the right matchup, maybe, and if Corey Brown continues to have to sit dealing with his injury, because Funchess, I think, again, at least for the first half, he was leading the team in snaps. So he was the only guy out there in one wide receiver sets, and he was in there in other formations as well. So they're going to continue to work him in more, but he's going to be more of a matchup-based guy right now just because the passing offense is going to be tough to predict in the Carolina outside of Greg Olsen.
Funchess looks a lot better than he did last year at Michigan. I mean, some of his work last year at Michigan was really bad.
It's bad.
Really, really bad.
Well, he also was – I mean, he's kind of a tweener because he flip-flopped between wide receiver and tight end at Michigan, and I think he's still kind
super
of learning
young.
To be – he's young, and I think he's still
21.
Learning to be a wide receiver at some point.
Yeah, no, and they've definitely – Carolina has done a really good job of developing receivers lately. Their wide receiver coach, Ricky Proles, a former wide receiver himself, mm-hmm. he's done really well with Funchess this year and Benjamin last year, but, Funchess is still kind of like a puppy growing into his paws. I charted
good way to put it.
Yeah, I charted his last three games for reception perception this week, and there's still some hit and miss stuff, so it's going to be ups and downs.
On the other side of the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll certainly get into some of this stuff when we hit our top headlines in a little bit, but obviously the big story there, Tony Romo going out with a clavicle injury, had to really rush himself back, I would say, to try and get his team back in contention because, they still had a shot at the playoffs. Obviously, if Romo is gone, that is probably done. But it just – that offense, it struggled when Romo was on the field on Thursday. It was even worse when he was off the field. And I know, Franchise, you're a guy who – you've got Dez Bryant on one of your rosters – I mean, at this point, how do you feel? I mean, what do you do?
I feel like
it's like the feeling. It's the feelings podcast now. How do you feel with Dez Bryant on your roster?
I do not feel good. But I mean, can you really bench a guy like Dez? Like it's we're coming up on week 13. You need wins in fantasy. It's a playoffs coming up here. Like you can't leave a guy like Dez on the bench, but you can't expect much out of him with Matt Cassel back there. So
that is the problem. I mean, and that's kind of what we've been saying. Because I'm sure you guys, just like me, I get a lot of tweets asking what I do with Dez Bryant. Do I start him? And my response has been, look, when you drafted Dez Bryant, you drafted him to be an every week player. He's a wide receiver one.
Looking at Dez's schedule, next week he goes into Washington. The following week, first week of the playoffs for most people, into Green Bay. And again, he'll have Matt Cassel under center. Then week 15 has a date with Revis Island, assuming he's healthy. On Saturday night, the Jets come into Dallas, and then in the championship week of the playoffs, if you're still there, has to take on the Bills. So it's not exactly an ideal schedule rest of the way for him with Matt Cassel under center.
Yeah. It's going to be rough.
I think you kind of have to view him as like a wide receiver too at this point. Like, it just depends on what your other options are. Like, Dez is too good, and like you're saying, he's too good in the red zone, especially mm-hmm. to bench. Like, he could always be a threat for two touchdowns. But you just, if there are, you have two better options in a week, I think you can bench him. But again, it's just about adjusting expectations.
Yeah. It's not like you're benching him no matter what for Travis Benjamin or something like that. Just make sure you have somebody better to throw him into.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking just amongst ourselves about how the first round, you look at the first round of most fantasy drafts, and it's been pretty awful. I mean, you got running backs who've either underperformed or been hurt. Aaron Rodgers, who was the quarterback that most people took in the first round, has kind of struggled, although we'll get to that in just a second. It seems like it's spilling over into the second round now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got Dez, who has been injured. Now his quarterback is out. I mean, until yesterday, really, Calvin Johnson had disappointed. I think I'm going to just abstain from drafting until round three next year.
Yeah, we got to stop with the whole you can lose your league in the first round of your draft because somebody's got to win.
Somebody's got to win.
But also, and that's why you got to always think of fantasy as like being like four legs of a table, and the other two legs of like waivers and trades are way more important than just the draft.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We talk about the draft so much, and it's so important because we have so many months to prepare for it.
Right. Moving on to the third and final game, the one game that was actually entertaining.
We don't need to talk about that.
Let's talk.
Let's move on.
I was trying to spare you, let you kind of get to, work up your feelings before we got to this one. Packers Bears from Lambeau Field on a very cold, very rainy night in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the two eternal rivals going after each other. Ended with the Bears hanging on for a 17-13 win. Before we get to what happened on the field, obviously halftime was amazing. Brett Favre gets his number retired, and Bart Starr comes out, and they share a moment on the field at halftime, which
it's pretty great. If you haven't read it, there was a good story in ESPN the magazine that came out a couple months ago about Bart Starr and his fight because he wanted to be back at Lambeau for this moment, and he's battling a lot of health issues and stuff, and it was pretty cool seeing him be able to get there and then have that moment with Brett Favre on the field.
Yeah, no, I'm getting chills just kind of remembering it from last night because it was pretty special. Even, you don't have to be a Packer fan. You just have to be a football
fan. No, that's just football history That's pretty cool.
You just have to be a football fan to appreciate that. So that was pretty special. But on the field, it wasn't really special for either team. I shouldn't say that. Eddie Lacy continues to look better. I mean, 2 weeks in a row now, he has had over 100 yards rushing, had 105 rushing yards last night, not to mention 34 receiving yards and a touchdown, which he very nearly bungled.
He almost Deshaun'd it.
He almost bungled it. But, he held on to it long enough to cross the goal line, and that was it. I mean, at this point, is it safe to say Eddie Lacy is an every week?
I feel comfortable with him as an every week RB2 at this point. Because he's starting to get fed the touches too. And it's funny to say he's like the best player on this offense right now. Because the wide receivers are a mess. And Rodgers is not having any help from the wide receivers then. So, and Lacy, like you said, has looked great. He's got his foot quickness has looked better. I think it's part of healing up. Maybe he hit the stationary bike a lot during his off season and shed a few pounds. But this is the running back that people expected that they drafted in the first round. So if you swung a trade for him or held on and kept the faith, you're going to be rewarded down the stretch because this has been what the Packers have done the last couple years with him is even if like last year they'll still be like, oh, James Starks is the 1-2 combo with Lacy, but then they feed Lacy 20-plus touches.
I've already seen the future.
Okay.
And in 2016, 2017, and 2018, we're still sitting here in November telling you, hey, Eddie Lacy's back, at the end of the season.
Every year.
Because this is the same thing that happened last year.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I've started to think that maybe we just don't panic on him when he struggles for the first month to 6 weeks of the season. Because remember last year, after September, everybody's freaking out. Like, what do I do with Eddie Lacy? And then, he had a bye week, and then he turned things around, and he was great.
Good football players are good.
Yeah.
And he's a good football player. It's just, sometimes you're a December back or whatever, and, fantasy football makes people panic because you are invested in these players on a week-to-week basis. But, some of these guys are just going to take some time.
And hopefully, maybe one of these years, he won't suffer an injury in, like, week two.
Right.
That limits him. Because last year, he had a concussion that made him miss a game, and then they worked him back slowly. This year was the ankle, but it's good. Now, let's get to what I'm sure everybody's excited to talk about, the Green Bay wide receivers.
That was the next thing on the agenda. Aaron Rodgers finishes the day, 202 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. An interception that I think
was the fault of Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it comes out of the hand of Aaron Rodgers, but a lot of that had to do with Devontae Adams just running a poor route, which was just part of a very awful day.
Very bad, very lazy route for Adams.
You know, it was just part of a terrible day for Devontae Adams. Had a number of drops. Still has not figured out what it is Aaron Rodgers expects of him in that offense. Just continues to kind of look lost out there. He ends the day with 2 catches for 14 yards. And, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers is arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now. But he is showing us that if you don't have guys who can get open and catch the football,
Adams had 11 targets. I knew it was too many, but I
wasn't
wanting to look.
Yes.
That's insane.
You know, and it's funny, too, because I'm watching that drive when Rodgers threw the interception. You know, he had a couple of runs. He threw one, I think, what, to Richard Rodgers, I believe, in there. And and I thought to myself, they would be smart just to not go toward Devontae Adams at all in this drive. And then the very next play, he throws the pick, and I see the replay, and I see who it is that he was targeting.
I mean, it was pretty much every time he threw a pass and something bad happened, I would just wait until the wide receiver stood up. Most of the time, he was on the ground, and then it was number 17.
Yeah, so Devontae Adams, if you stretched his 3-game pace, just these last 3 weeks, out to a 16-game season.
He's been waiting all morning to get to this, by the way.
I have a sticky note. He would have 192 targets, 80 receptions, 688 yards, and 0 touchdowns. That's real, real bad. Yeah.
That's ungood.
So Adams, too, was a guy that was really popular in the offseason. He was probably the worst wide receiver I graded through reception perception, which if you don't know me, which you might not.
He is the wide receiver whisperer, folks.
Yeah, well, it's a methodology I use to chart wide receivers. You can check out some of the stuff on the internet with the Google. He had the second worst score against man coverage last year amongst the rookies, worst against zone. Doubles doesn't really count. He wasn't really doubled that much. And then the second worst against press. So just all in all from last year, he was a really bad player. And we got to stop believing that a player is going to break out, or especially a pass catcher, just because their quarterback says so. We're looking at you, Devontae Adams, and we're looking at you, Marcus Wheaton.
And Jared Boykin. I think part of the hope with Adams, too, was that there were a lot of bad things on tape, but he had those couple splashes, so it was like, well, maybe in the off season, because you know, lately it's been a jump from rookie to sophomore year, despite all the crazy things that like Amari Cooper and Odell Beckham are doing. So that was my hope. I knew there were some bad signs on tape, and I read your reception perception, but obviously, being a homer, I had some hope, and also with like a larger sample size, he might be able to get it done. And Jesus Christ, is this larger sample size gone poorly?
Yeah.
It's
just about expectations, man. Like, he can be a usable receiver, but they gotta stop throwing him the ball so much.
So I mean, but then this begs the bigger question. I mean, what do you do, franchise, about Aaron Rodgers going forward? I mean, this is another guy who, again, he was probably a late first-round pick in a lot of leagues. I know, you know, in your league of record, Gelhar, he was, what, the third overall pick, I believe?
Yeah, but probably. It's also a 6-passing touchdown league, and it's a league with a bunch of guys from Wisconsin.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you know, that's with an asterisk. But either way, he was a first-round guy in a lot of leagues. He still has all the talent in the world. We know how good he is, but it doesn't matter if his guys aren't catching the football.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the other big thing here. James Jones didn't have a target the whole game, and he's like 2 weeks ago he had 100 yards.
Well, he got a target. He got a couple targets late, I think.
He didn't have a catch, though, yeah.
He doesn't show up in the box score, but yeah. Rodgers needs these other guys to step up when a guy like Adams is just dropping the ball out there. He's got to stop throwing to him.
Yeah, Cobb had a decent, like, quiet afternoon. He had six of his 7 targets he caught for, like, 74 yards. But, like we said, he can't do it all on his own.
Probably should have had a touchdown, by the way, on the
although I think technically they made the right call because different lineman moved
stood up,
off of that guy's thing. It was the guard that moved, but yeah, darn it. You know who else should have had a touchdown was Devontae Adams, but he dropped it.
Yeah, well.
Also, real quick before we changed, we should talk about the Bears.
We should talk about the Bears because they actually won the game.
Did you see Sigmund Bloom's tweet this morning that was like, could you imagine what would have happened if the Packers had let Randall Cobb go to a different team and the Giants never let James Jones go?
Ooh. So
Jeff Janis would lead the league in touchdowns.
Wow. That's such a great point.
It's a horrible thing to think about. But,
which, by the way, before we switch over to the Bears, we have become in the fantasy stronghold. One of our favorite Twitter follows has become JS Comments, where they pull comments off the
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here are a few that have been tweeted out this morning.
Oh God!
Winning that Super Bowl was the worst thing that ever happened to us. Now we will never get rid of McCarthy. Rodgers needs to apologize to Favre, Starr, and this entire fan base. And let's see. Give me a break. This may sound blasphemic, but maybe they should slap a retractable roof on Lambo and take the elements out of play.
Oh, my God. Basically, if you are just a fan of insane football hot takes, the people, the fine people of Wisconsin sometimes...
they get a little overboard.
They like cooking up some real hot takes.
So, at JS Comments,
it's good follow.
If you are interested. Yeah, quickly before we get to the headlines, though, the Bears, they actually did win the football game. Jay Cutler, we talked about all week how Lambeau Field had really been a house of horrors for him. He'd had some awful numbers. Wasn't great. I mean, if you watch him on the field, he moved the offense very well. He was very efficient, did a lot of great things. Fantasy perspective, not particularly great. Just 200 yards and a touchdown, although he did not turn the ball over, so that's a plus. I don't know. I've been saying it for weeks, though, now. I mean, Cutler has been an easy punchline for so long. Maybe it's the Adam Gase offense. Maybe he's finally maturing. But Jay Cutler this year has been a pretty good quarterback.
I think it's a lot of the offense. And they've helped him with the, you know, they've got the great running game. And they set up a lot of easier passes. They didn't force. It's not like when Mike Martz was there with Chicago and was like, Jay, just whip it downfield all day. Like, they run every screen in the book and they run them effectively. Like, that, the Packers look like they'd never seen a wide receiver or running back screen before yesterday. And that was a good way to keep Jay Cutler efficient and get his confidence going.
They're hashtag getting the ball to their good players.
They are.
Alshon Jeffrey like has 40% of the team targets when he plays, or somewhere in the 40%.
Yeah, it's an obscene number.
They're not really messing around with any ancillary receivers. They're getting targets to the tight end. Zach Miller looks like a pretty good player, too. Yeah. And the running backs get fed. That's probably something important to talk about, that backfield split.
Yes. It was pretty much 50-50.
It was pretty even.
Forte had 16 touches.
And Langford
at 13.
Yeah, and looking at the snap percentage, too, Forte played 55%, and Langford played 45%. So, you know, it looks like an even split, and both those players are probably usable.
I guess that was my next question, then. I mean, at this point, are they both – they are both usable for you, right? I mean, Forte probably drops from an RB1 to an RB2, but Langford's a guy that you now can feel confident putting in your lineup every week.
If I have either of them, I feel fine tossing him in as a flex every week because, I mean, like we saw this week, Langford was the one that got the touchdown. Forte got tackled, like, right by the goal line. So they'll both put up usable yardage, and it's just hoping one of them gets into the end zone to seal the deal for you.
Well, and looking at the schedule, it's mediocre. It's okay. I mean, they have the Niners next week, so start both of them.
Yay.
You know, they've got the Washington United Football Club, Vikings, and Buccaneers to finish out. So it's not great. It's not terrible. But
next 2 weeks will be good.
Next couple weeks, you should take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That is the recap of Thursday. Let's do some headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
Well, we will start. Actually, you know, we'll start with this thing that just came across my Twitter feed because it's hilarious. Apparently, the story from the Syracuse.com about the Buffalo Bills, apparently Richie Incognito gained more than 10 pounds during Thanksgiving.
Wow.
In one day?
I don't really know where else to go with that other than, wow.
Did he eat the whole turkey?
he probably had his own, and the rest of the family had their own meal.
Thanksgiving's only one day.
Yeah.
Well, one day.
Richie put in some work, so there. Okay, on the real headlines, though, we mentioned it briefly. Tony Romo suffered an injury, done for the season after injuring his clavicle on a sack in the game yesterday. And obviously, with him done, the Cowboys' playoff hopes probably done alongside that. But from a fantasy perspective, what do we do now? When we talked briefly about Dez Bryant, I mean, is it just time to give up the ghost with any Cowboys skill players?
The one that I think might be an exception is McFadden, just because he's getting fed so many touches. Yesterday was kind of an outlier. He had 10 carries for only 11 yards. But before that, he was averaging over 27 touches a game. And you really can't put that on the bench at this point. I think that's the only one that I would probably.
Yeah, I agree.
We already talked about Dez, but you're not holding any of these ancillary receivers.
Nobody's going to start Terrence Williams anymore. Nobody's going to start Cole Beasley. Nobody's going to start Jason Witten. But you're right. Like, McFadden, at the running back position, McFadden might fall more into that, like, Sean Drone, Antonio Andrews territory now, where it's like, right, you can't turn your nose up at that many touches. But other than that, other than Dez and McFadden, it's It's not good.
Which, by the way, he's not here today, but I want to give props to James Coe, because I remember way back at the beginning of the season, we were trying to sort through this Dallas backfield, and, you know, Joseph Randall was there, and, you know, all these guys were kind of, you know, Lance Dunbar was still hanging around there. James Coe said in the preseason that he felt like at the end of the year, Darren McFadden was going to become the guy. Now, it's sort of happened by attrition, but look, facts is facts. Darren McFadden he's still the guy who's right there. So props to James Coe on
well
calling
too.
That one. He's playing very well. Devontae Freeman likely out this week. Last week when he went out of the game, Tevin Coleman came in and just he looked tentative. He looked hesitant. He didn't look like the guy we saw back in week one who broke out. So, I mean, Alex, any concern about plugging him into your lineup right now?
No, I think he'll be better, and he'll receive plenty of touches. He's on the lower end of an RB2 radar, whereas we probably would have felt still good about Devonta Freeman as an RB1. But I think Tevin Coleman, if you picked him up on waivers or had been stashing him for a while, he'll be a solid start this week.
Agree? Disagree?
I agree. Anybody? As maybe like a flex kind of guy. Like Lacey, they play the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
Lacey had 100 yards against them last week. I mean, if Coleman can get 15 touches, I mean, he could be a decent flex with a shot for a touchdown.
Yeah, that Vikings run defense has definitely been kind of breaking down lately. They've been much worse over the last month than they were early in the season. The problem with Coleman, though, is, you know, if you go back and watch the game from last week, those were a lot of the problems that he showed in that game were the same problems that he showed in Indiana that made a few people question whether he could really hack it as a feature back in the NFL.
Absolutely.
He did not break. I don't think he broke a tackle all game. He got bodied a few times in the red zone.
When he got, like, flipped over, basically, on that goal line carry.
That was kind of embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, he's just not. You can tell that they lack the physicality and the sustaining toughness that Devonta Freeman brings to the running game. That kind of throws the whole offense off schedule. So I think he's a volatile play.
At this point, I feel that way about all the Falcons, except maybe Julio Jones, but because they're so inconsistent, and I mean, we've seen it in wins and losses. They were 4-0, and now we're talking about them possibly missing the playoffs unless they figure something out. Johnny Manziel's bench, Luke McCown starting. I feel like this
Josh McCown, bro.
Oh, sorry. Josh McCown, wrong.
Off
McCown.
The Verizon commercial.
I know.
You just want Luke to get another chance.
No, I mean, you know, some of those backups could really shine.
Josh on IR.
I think Luke McCown is on
he actually
IR now.
Is. But
still running the commercials. Though.
Josh McCown is starting. I feel like this is a win for fantasy owners at least. This is a win. Now, you know, Travis Benjamin has a lot more value. Obviously, Gary Barnage, we can all rejoice because the Barnyard Dog can be let off the leash this week.
Yes.
I feel like from a fantasy perspective, seeing Johnny Manziel was not going to be a good thing for any of us.
It was going to be potentially
It'll be entertaining, sure.
He would have been a frisky start given the matchup and his running ability. But now that McCown's in there, it's a safer start. And I picked him up in a couple leagues where I've got quarterback issues.
Yeah,
like I'm going to be starting him over Phillip Rivers and Tyrod in our dynasty league.
Yeah,
I like that move.
I have to stream him in a few leagues as well. He put up like 457 yards and 2 touchdowns, completed 70% of his passes last time they played the Ravens. And in games where he's finished outside of the Denver game, he has a 101 quarterback rating. So, I mean, McCown has played really well.
He has really well.
Well, and, beginning of the season when the Browns were talking about starting Josh McCown and everybody, like, howled, like, why aren't you starting Johnny Manziel? And then, McCown started balling out and everybody just shut the hell up.
Yeah. We all thought about the Browns as kind of this, like, dumpster fire of offensive weapons, but obviously they've had Barnage emerge. Travis Benjamin has looked really, really good. He's a legitimate starting receiver in the NFL. And he's also – I think McCown is better for
– Dwayne Bowe, too.
Okay. Just the details.
I'd say to cut his mic, but he's the one running the board right now.
Yeah, right.
Can't shut me up. Got some strong Dwayne Bowe takes coming in.
And I think McCown is better for Benjamin's floor and also for Duke Johnson, like as a pass-catching PPR back. I know franchise is kind of written all year in the committee meetings how Isaiah Crowell's just not getting it done.
Just
so,
garbage.
Yeah, he's been so bad.
Don't start him.
Just awful.
Wasn't there – you had – some stat about him the other day or something where I don't remember.
Let's go see if we can find it. It was on our text message chain that we had.
Oh, that too.
Oh, about Jeremy Hill.
Yeah. Yes. That.
Him and Isaiah Crowell, or whatever.
Like the bottom two.
The only other player that has less yards per carry than Jeremy Hill this year is Isaiah Crowell.
Gross. With 100 plus attempts.
With a minimum of 100 carries. Yeah.
I think.
Is that bad?
That sounds bad.
Hashtag
good. Worse for Jeremy Hill than, you know.
Yeah.
anything else?
All right. Well, Marcus is transitioning. Speaking of sad running back news, Beast Mode had his sports hernia surgery. They're eyeing a late December return. So this is great for people that have Thomas Rawls, but if you have Beast Mode, drop him.
I mean, unless you somehow have this extreme confidence that you're going to make it to your fantasy championship, because that's probably the only chance you get to use him. But, I mean, I don't know how you have that level of confidence. You know, I say it's time to say goodbye.
I don't know. I'd hang on to him.
I agree. I wouldn't just drop him for no reason. But
bye.
Marcus is ruthless. I would, just in case, like, you know, unless there's an option on your waiver wire, like if there's a Spencer Ware still out there or something, I would drop him for Ware or one of those guys we talked about this week, but I wouldn't just drop him just to pick up a kicker or something.
Make sure you're picking somebody up, but like
it's someone you're going to use.
But yeah, it's probably over. I mean, but for fantasy season.
Yeah, like Marshall, I mean, late December, he might not come back till week 17.
Right,
and that's irrelevant in most fantasy.
Does you no good there? By the way, I mean, this might be the last we've seen of Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, we'll
I hope not. The NFL's a better place when Beast Mode is in it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would be surprised certainly if he's back in a Seahawks uniform, but this might be the last we've seen of him. Maybe. Period.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it at the beginning of the year. This is what it looks like when the running back starts to decline. This is how the story goes. Like, oh, it's my hamstring. Oh, it's my back. It's my calf. You know, it's one thing after another,
and then
a younger player comes in and looks infinitely better. Marshawn Lynch, I think he only has. I know, excuse me, Thomas Rawls only has like 10 less yard or more yards than Marshawn Lynch
on 10 fewer carries.
Right. So he's been outplayed.
Other running back news, Charkandrick West mispracticed on Thursday. It's looking more and more now like Spencer Ware is going to get the start for the Chiefs this week. They take on the Buffalo Bills in a huge game for both of those teams, actually. Charkandrick had been fantastic. You know, we had been saying when Jamaal Charles went down, oh, Charkandrick West, he's not going to be Jamaal Charles, but he'll give you good numbers. Look, he's been on par with Jamaal Charles with what he's done.
He actually averaged more touches a game than Charles did.
Yeah.
It's like they realized, like, oh, man, we really need to refunnel this offense through the running back after Charles went down to be, I don't know why, but it worked out. Charkandrick was producing, Ware produced last week. I was lucky enough to win Ware on waivers in a couple leagues, especially my league of record where I had Charkandrick, so I'm starting him this week, no doubt.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously he looked great last week when Charkandrick went out of the game and Spencer Ware went berserk and had a huge game. I don't know that there's much debate here, right? I mean, Spencer Ware's playing. You start him in this situation.
Yeah. Against the Bills.
If you play daily fantasy for just, you know, if you're one of those people, which I play a lot, there's going to be a lot of value proposition of running backs this week. You've got Buck Allen, Gio Bernard, Thomas Rawls, Tevin Coleman, and Spencer Ware all in that really low range of running backs and all, because all these guys are just kind of starters unsuspectedly.
Right.
Ware is the best value among them and also probably going to be the less owned one, and that's important in DFS where you want a unique lineup.
Right.
People are going to go for Buck, for Rawls, because they know this guy plays for the Ravens. He's got a good matchup against the Browns.
They watched Rawls drop 250
yards
this week.
Yeah. Oh, Rawls is going to be super high owned, and Ware, I think, could be a nice little, you know, not really a contrarian play, but a guy that's less owned, differentiates your lineup. And also, just I want to give shouts to Matt Waldman, who is, you know, one of my favorite guys, one of my favorite analysts, good friend of mine too. He's been touting Spencer Ware since like his days at LSU, and you know, when he's bouncing around the league, it looks silly, but then the guy gets on the field and he plays really well.
Yeah, so it was a good call.
Good call.
There you go. And final headline, Frank Gore practiced fully on Thursday. Looks like he is on track to play this week against the Buccaneers. I've been saying for a couple of weeks that Frank Gore is a guy that, you know, if you want to try to target him, especially as a package and a deal, because his playoff schedule isn't terrible. I mean, you know, he's got the Jags and the Dolphins in two of those three playoff weeks. He's got the Texans in the middle, and they've been better. So they're not maybe the pushover they once were. But as long as Andrew Luck is still out and they're relying on Matt Hasselbeck, I feel like they're going to have to lean on that running game. And I know we saw Ahmad Bradshaw quite a bit last week, and he had the two touchdowns. But look, I feel like you could do worse than Frank Gore. And like, looking at his game logs, the yardage has been there. The issue is he hasn't scored a lot of touchdowns this year.
Nobody on the Colts has scored a lot of touchdowns.
Well, see, that's it. But in terms of, you know, like snaps and touches and yardage, Frank Gore's not having a bad year right now.
I think when you lose your starting quarterback, especially, you know, a potentially elite level one like Andrew Luck, it takes the ceiling off the offense. It decreases the offensive pie. So that's why you're not seeing the touchdowns. But as far as yardage and touches goes, you're right. Frank Gore's really been reliable. I mean, 19 last week was the lowest he's seen in the last 3 weeks. 19
right.
Total touches.
He's like a very safe RB2 play because he's going to give you a solid contribution. And if he is able to get into the end zone, then he bumps it up from like around a 8 to 10 point day towards that like 15 to 20 point day. So that's he's useful. And it's great that he's practicing now. We'll still see Ahmad Bradshaw in the red zone catching passes because that's how they've been using him. And that's what he excels at. He's kind of like that Theo Riddick where he's a good matchup against linebackers. But Gore's going to be getting lots of touches moving the chains for the Colts. So he's a solid play. It's good to see him practicing fully on Thursday.
There you go. Moving on to our best and worst matchups for the week. I want to get through some of these kind of quickly because I want to get some of these Black Friday dilemmas too.
I've got them cooked up for you guys.
There we go. All right. So best matchups. I feel like Brian Hoyer is just kind of – look, they're playing the Saints, right? So we're all on board with Brian Hoyer this week, presumably.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was walking my dog this morning and I kind of had this like it's early. I was drinking my coffee and I was having a little bit of a nightmare scenario where we'd out Brian Hoyer and DeAndre Hopkins all week and then for some reason Alfred Blue goes off on the Saints defense.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Don't put that
could you
evil
imagine
into the world.
I would throw up all under my desk all day, all afternoon.
It's going to happen. I mean, you know, because everything points to those two guys having huge games. So somehow
this is the Alfred Blue 31
carries. Will rise up and stop DeAndre Hopkins. We talked a little bit about Josh McCown. I see Eli Manning here, and you know, I won't say Eli Manning is matchup proof because that's certainly not the case. But Eli is that guy that everybody kind of snickers at. They make fun of Manning face, and then like you look at the standings at the end of the year, and Eli's like a top 10 quarterback. Like. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we should just stop doubting Eli.
He's a top 10 quarterback right now, and that Washington defense is bad. They lost Chris Culliver for the year to a torn ACL yesterday.
Yeah.
They weren't really good when he was in there anyway. So, yeah, no, I think Beckham and Eli are going to – this is one of those potentially nuclear games for them.
Yeah, and on the flip side, that's why I put Cousins as well. Is like this game could turn into a shootout. Cousins is at home, right, in this game?
Yes, he is.
His home road splits are, like, ridiculous
and
this year.
And he's got DeSean Jackson back healthy now. We saw D-Jack's flash last week a little bit. So this could be a game where there's a lot of points going back and forth, and if you're in need of a streamer, I think Cousins was one of your picks in the Sleepers article too, right?
And I will say there's just two things that kind of had me worried about the fact that I already put that out there. one, Jordan Reed has an MCL injury, so if he's less than 100%, that could be kind of a worry.
He's supposed to play, though.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Just the thing with him is it could be, you know, it's always kind of like he is a very obviously injured, you know, I hate saying injury prone, but he's often injured. And, you know, that's a matchup that they could exploit. But also, that Giants defense is kind of getting some good personnel. They get Prince Amukamara back this week, who's a good cover corner. JPP is obviously
DRC's
playing.
Been playing well.
Yeah,
the
so
Giants defense has been a sneaky play in fantasy, but they're still a bad real defense.
For sure.
Like one of the worst.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to stream Cousins this week, I would probably – it's fine. I mean, Hoyer – I prefer Hoyer and McCown over Cousins. But if those guys get taken, Cousins probably got dropped this week because he had a bad week following a really good week. So, I mean, I'm fine with it, but there are a few things that just have me a little less confident than I was on Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely.
On the flip side, you know, we talked about the Falcons and their inconsistent offense. Like, Matt Ryan, I'm done. I've had enough.
Dude, bro should be on waivers.
I've had enough. I'm done with that. Andy Dalton, I won't say bad Andy has shown up, but less than good Andy has been around the last couple of weeks, and that makes me nervous. And his schedule down the stretch is not one that I want to mess around with.
Yeah, this week's a really bad matchup against the Rams.
He still snagged 22 opponent or 20.
He had
22 opponents.
He had a good fantasy game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, 22 points against the Cardinals
he
last
did.
Week. What an idiot!
Yeah,
shootout.
He had a good game against the Cardinals. But
I think this could be a bigger week for the Bengals ground game because I think they will beat the Rams and the. Case Keenum, rest in peace, Case Keenum, or Nick Foles, whoever is back there, they'll probably beat them and be in a position to run the football a lot.
Dare we say
no.
Jeremy?
No. Okay.
I'm not getting back into that.
All right, never mind. Tyrod, I mean, the stronghold, we have been huge supporters of Tyrod Taylor all year. This week, not so much.
He's injured. He's going into the buzzsaw. That's the Chiefs' defense. It's been playing phenomenal. The Chiefs are at home. I don't like any of this.
It's the perfect storm of bad.
Yeah, Franchise, you had the Chiefs as a streaming defense this week, right?
Yeah, they've been on fire.
Yeah, they have some good matchups coming up, too. So you can probably grab them and use them for the next couple weeks.
I forget what their ownership was, too, on NFL.com,
but
it's like insanely low for how
it was about 30%.
Well, they were such a bad defense to start the year when they had Sean Smith on suspension, and then the pass rush wasn't really going, but they've looked better lately. And I love Tyrod. I mean, I was one of the first people to really be touting him this offseason. But unfortunately, it's not good right now. And, you know, he's a low-end starter in the NFL at this point and might even just be a high-end backup. But, yeah, he's injured. The offense really doesn't have a lot going on outside of McCoy. So
McCoy's the only person I'd trust starting this week, but I'd lower my expectations.
Yeah, there you go.
Over the running back spot, we talked a little bit about some of these guys. Look, I've been on T.J. Yeldon for about a month now because I like the Jaguars' schedule down the stretch. Plus, their offense has
been looking good.
He's been looking good.
He looks really good.
And I got to retract some things because I said before the season I wasn't big on T.J. Yeldon, and he has been better than I thought he would be. And so, you know, it's been a pleasant surprise. I just watching him at Alabama, I just wasn't really impressed, but. Look, he's performed very, very well, and he's really taken command in that backfield there. You don't have to worry about Denard Robinson or Toby Gerhardt or anybody like that.
Well, except they gave Robinson like seven carries.
I know.
The red zone.
A bunch of them, which I hope you've learned your lesson, Gus Bradley.
Yeah, that
Greg
was
Olson.
Weird. I remember back, like, even before the season started, Franchise and I were sucking back some drinks after we had High Life Friday, and we were talking about T.J. Yeldon, how he definitely has some elite qualities to his running style that are kind of go under-noticed, but he definitely has great vision, really good patience, and the way he generates power from his hips instead of, like, his upper body is really impressive, and he could be that guy, like, I know we're looking forward to next year, shut up, Harmon, but, like, this is a guy that could be kind of that real big breakout, like maybe not to Le'Veon Bell status, but the guy that has like kind of an okay rookie year and then takes a massive step forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One name I do want to get to real quick, Chris Ivory. He's got a fantastic matchup this week. The Dolphins'
health is the concern.
The Dolphins' run defense has been just awful recently. Health is an issue, and I don't know. He even before he really got hurt, wasn't looking great. I mean, he's had a few bad weeks in there. I feel like if you have him, you're probably flexing him, but I don't know. I'm scared.
I'm going to keep the faith because I've been a fan of Ivory all year, and I'm just going to hope that he's healthy enough to take advantage of the matchup, but I'm also preparing myself for another, like, three-point outing.
In his last four games, he's averaged 44.5 rushing yards per game, but he's saved some of his weeks with touchdowns, but recently he's just not been good.
Yeah, it's kind of more of a factor, like, is the passing offense going to move the ball through the airs to get him into, you know, the red zone into goal line situations? Because, right now you can't really trust that he's healthy enough to be the banger, like, to take 20 carries or something.
Right.
Yeah. Just
all right.
Makes me nervous.
I'm still sticking with him this week, though.
Yeah.
Any other matchups on here that jump out at anybody, good, bad, otherwise?
Marcus, do you have Chris Johnson, like, second in your running back rankings?
Yeah, man, because he went berserk. Like, the game against the Niners in week three was the one where he reintroduced himself.
Three touchdowns, too.
And that was his, allow me to reintroduce myself moment. And look, man, Thomas Rawls just eviscerated them last week. So, yeah.
And they keep stuffing the ball down Chris Johnson's throat. I mean, like, he's seen, like, over 20 touches pretty much since he got there.
Yeah.
And started that big run after week three. He's been tremendous. Even if he doesn't get, like, a lot of yards per carry or anything like that or score a lot of touchdowns, Bruce Arians just loves the fact that he can rely on this guy for, like, 3 yards because they have a big vertical passing game.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson's kind of like the jab in that offense. He just keeps jabbing with him, and then he'll bring in Ellington or David Johnson for the hook in the backfield.
Right. That's the haymaker there.
The haymaker.
All
right, why don't we move on to
let's
this
move
next
on to
segment.
The, yeah,
I'm
let's
sure,
do these.
I'm sure you're
I'm,
all curious.
I'm very, because we have some, because it is Black Friday, and look, stay safe out in them streets, folks.
Just online shop.
Seriously.
Cyber Monday.
I'm not going to be working at all today.
Amazon.
I'll just be shopping.
Amazon is the safe way to go, but if you're out there, please be careful. But we have some fantasy dilemmas here.
So, since it is Black Friday, I cooked up some Black Friday situations but instead of a deal, they're obviously going to have a fantasy spin at the end. So, Stronghold. You awoke at 2 a.m. to camp outside your local electronics store to get an insane deal on an Xbox One. After enduring the cold of the morning and the body odor of your fellow shoppers, you're racing through the store, elbowing people out of the way en route to your system when a different deal catches your eye. Two touchdown-scoring machines at wide receiver, Eric Decker and Martavis Bryant, but you can only choose one to have for the rest of the season. Who do you choose?
Rest of the season, huh?
I think this answer is easy.
Well, do you?
I do. I do. And you'll be surprised for how much I stick up for poor, underappreciated Eric Decker.
No, I won't.
Well, no. I say you will be surprised considering that because I'm going to go Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
I think it's easy. Right now, we don't even know if Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be starting for much longer, and that will bring the Geno coaster back into effect. And, oh, God, I know there's like a faction of Geno truthers on Twitter that actually think he's better than Fitzpatrick, but give me a break. Decker is an elite touchdown scorer in the NFL. However, so is Martavis Bryant. And he's a guy that I know, you know, he can kind of have sometimes. Right now, his floor is pretty much kind of that 3-for-40 sort of week, where last year it was even lower than that because he's basically playing a ton of snaps. He and Antonio Bryant own a 50%, both like combined, own a 50% share of the team targets. Bryant is a guy that can blow up regardless of matchup. He has, and talk about.
He could still go bananas this week in Seattle.
I'm going to play him a lot in DFS because I think he will get over on Kerry Williams and some of those other cover guys. I think he could, and he could beat Sherman too. I mean, Bryant has elite tools. You talk about guys.
He's a freak.
I was going to say Martavis Bryant as well. I mean, but I'm just shocked.
Well, no, and I mean, and like, please,
you
guys,
also, but listeners, you have to understand that there are no bigger Eric Decker truthers out there than Matt.
He doesn't even need to be a truther. These production, he's just a
fan. Yeah, no, he's just a fan of a good football player. Okay, so I don't really think that qualifies. Just you know, people. I'm not going to name who.
Like to just
slander and take shots at Eric Decker, but you know, the guy's been just a productive machine in the NFL.
Decker's that consistent guy who'll get you points every week.
Yeah.
But Bryant's ceiling is just outweighs. Like he'll have those 25-point games that Decker just doesn't get.
For the moment,
Martavis Bryant all the way around.
Yeah. And for the moment, real quick, I wouldn't worry at this point about the Geno coaster coming in unless there's an injury to Fitzpatrick. The Jets. Still hanging around that playoff race. So I think, you know, as long as they're doing that, I think Todd Bowles would be foolish to make a change.
I agree, but they're just, you know, when they asked about Fitzpatrick, he kind of like gave he's a starter sort of answer. He didn't be like, yeah, hell yeah, this is my guy. So, you know, just something to be a little concerned about.
There you go.
All right, the next Black Friday dilemma. You've sidestepped the brawl happening between two dads fighting over the last Star Wars replica lightsaber, and you've come across a hidden deal at the back of an aisle. Two of the waiver wire darlings this past week, but you only have the cash for one. Who do you start? Spencer Ware or Buck Allen?
I actually would say I would probably start I don't know. I'm going to choke here. Hang on.
Marcus almost died on the podcast, buddy.
Still dying. In fact, somebody else answer this because I'm going to die real quick.
I think I would go with Buck Allen.
Why? You didn't sound very confident.
Well, are we talking this week or
this
for the rest of the year?
This week. This week.
I mean, Browns D has been playing better lately, but they've been torched by running backs. Allen is going to get all of the carries. Mm-hmm. I think he had 22 carries last week after Forsett went out. And, like, behind Buck Allen, who is there? Mostert?
I don't know how to say Terrence it. West, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Revenge game.
West is there.
Narrative.
I just think Buck Allen's just going to get overloaded with volume, and he's going to make the most out of it.
You're right. Baltimore running backs have accounted for over 60% of the team touches, which is seventh in the NFL among
Look at that little nugget.
Yeah, that comes from TJ Hernandez from 444 Football on his podcast I listened to this morning during that nightmare dog walk. But I'm going to go the other way and say I would go with Spencer Ware this week. I think he could just as easily see a ton of touches. And also, right now, I just trust the Chiefs offense more than the Ravens. I mentioned earlier about when you lose a quarterback, especially an elite one like Joe Flacco. I'm kind of joking, but seriously.
But not.
But not.
He's better than Schaub.
But Flacco is a really good quarterback who was playing pretty well considering what he was playing with.
Yeah.
They've lost their starting receiver. They've lost their starting running back. They've lost their starting quarterback. It is tough to maintain an efficient offense. And Matt freaking Schaub is going to lead this team. I mean, Buck Allen, you're right. He could see like 25 touches, but average like 3 yards a touch.
Right.
I think the ceiling is just better with Spencer Ware if Charkhandrick sits, who is, like, he's a good, like we said, he looked like a really good player last week in a good matchup, but yeah, he could see 25 touches and potentially get in the end zone.
I actually was, before I started choking to death, was going to lean towards Spencer Ware simply because that Chiefs offense hasn't aside from obviously Ware stepping in for Tre'Kendrick West, that offense hasn't really undergone any changes. I mean, the Ravens, not only did they lose Justin Forsett, they lost their quarterback. I mean, they really lost the trigger man who makes that whole thing go.
And they lost Steve Smith.
They lost Steve Smith. And I just think, you know, if you're a defense, again, the last time we saw Matt Schaub, he had zero arm strength. He was throwing pick sixes like, you know, people handing out Thanksgiving turkeys. I just think that makes the Ravens a little easier to defend. And while I do think Buck Allen's going to have a ton of volume, I just think the Browns are going to make sure that he's not the guy that beats them this week.
All right. I would go with Spencer Ware for what it's worth, too. Last one. Your cart is filled with nonsense and a bunch of crap that will likely be broken or forgotten about in the coming months. Yet the allure of a deal continues to wreak havoc on your wallet. Escape is imminent as you wait behind an old couple arguing with the cashier about their coupons to get the maximum deal, obviously, when a bargain bin nearby catches your eye. Wowza! A 4-for-1 or 3-for-1 deal. But your cart only has room for one crowded backfield. Do you pick the Giants backfield or the Washington backfield for the rest of the season?
Oh my God.
I turn around and I walk out of the store.
Yeah.
You have to choose, you guys. The deal. It's a deal. 4-for-1. I'm 3-for-1.
If you have to choose, who would you?
Washington.
I would probably pick the Washington backfield. They've at least been productive.
At least there's only three of them, not four.
Yeah.
But you guys, it's a deal. That's what Black Friday is all about.
This is like that dollar bin at Target.
Yeah, it is.
Like, oh.
I mean, I still think Matt Jones has, like, explosive potential. So if you have to throw him in, you know, at least I feel better like he might bust a big run.
He has, or, you know, Chris Thompson could catch a lot of passes. Yeah.
But
just
gross.
Nothing good to say about the Giants.
No, literally nothing. I mean, even Shane Vereen, who's, like, the one that should be, like, okay, if, you know, they might throw him the ball a lot. He'll get, like, 5 catches a game, especially in shootout game scripts. That doesn't even happen.
No.
Yeah.
All right, actually, I lied. I had one more. I forgot about this one.
Yes.
All right. You're trapped in a corner of the store amongst crying and sick children. You're unable to get to the Blu-ray deals you wanted, so you turn around and race away from the children, looking for a backup plan when you stumble into a bin filled with backup running backs with a chance to shine and starting opportunities. Do you start Tevin Coleman versus Minnesota or Thomas Rawls versus Pittsburgh?
Rawls.
Oh, yeah, Rawls. This is easy.
The easy answer is Rawls, but Pittsburgh's run D is
true.
It has been good, but I just eye test
Rawls. Yeah, Rawls is the –
Yeah, Rawls is good, and he's going to get a lot of opportunity. So, yeah, I would go with Rawls, even though Coleman could make that look silly with, like, a 70-yard touchdown run against what defense.
Yeah, like you said earlier, Harmon, he's volatile because while Coleman did get stuffed and lacked that physicality that Freeman brought, if he gets a crease and can hit it, he could be gone.
I mean, he's a home run guy.
Is Rawls he's an RB1 the rest of the way, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't Rawls have a home run a couple weeks ago? Maybe it was against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
He had
super long.
Yeah, he had 169 touchdown. Yards and a touchdown in that, and one, I think, the touchdown did come off on a long.
It came on a huge
60-yarder, yeah. So,
right.
I mean, he's got that potential, too.
All right, shall we dap it up?
Let's dap it and get out of here.
Let's do it.
Extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
All right, the daily daps. We got two new guys here, so I'm going to give them a little extra time to get their daps ready. So, Alex, how about you start us off?
I got a good one. I follow this Twitter account because I'm a cinephile. You guys hear me talk about movies a lot. It's called One Perfect Shot. Most of the time, it just tweets out, like, great images from great movies, but they'll also throw out deals and other fun things that they find. So I don't know who it was that made it, so apologies, but they tweeted out somebody made a spoof Mad Max Black Friday trailer that took the Mad Max Fury Road trailer but superimposed a bunch of Black Friday things, and instead Tom Hardy is like an employee at a store and all the crazy people are Black Friday shoppers. It's pretty darn funny. I'll tweet out the link later, but otherwise you can find it at One Perfect Shot. They tweeted out this morning, or just search Mad Max Black Friday. It was pretty darn funny.
Very awesome. I have to check that out when I get back to my desk. Matt Harmon, you got a daily dap for us?
I do. I'm going to dap Blue Buffalo Wilderness dog food.
I use that too.
Yeah, man. We'll dap each other right now.
Yeah.
No. So yesterday, I don't feed Charlie the raw food, but normally I give him just dry food. But yesterday for Thanksgiving, I gave him a can of wet food, and oh boy, did he go bananas. I mean, he was like licking the floor around the place yesterday. Charlie is my dog. If you follow me on Twitter, you know about Charlie. He's got a kind of very passionate fan base that I'll dap you guys too, because that's always very nice to see. It's very cool that people are so engaged with old Charlie. But yeah, I'm gonna dap them up. So again, if anybody from Blue Buffalo is listening, you got a free endorsement right here, so you can email me and Charlie.
That,
and I will
that
start
food, also like the pressure of entertaining everybody at Thanksgiving yesterday put Charlie into a bit of a coma.
Yeah,
if
you can go on my Instagram account too and see, just he's just knocked out. Yeah, it was tough. He was even a little sluggish this morning, man. I think the pressure got to him.
It's a rough day for everybody. Franchise.
I am going to go stick with my music theme as I always have. And I'm going to adapt this heavy metal band that I've been into called Baroness.
Oh, they're great. I love Baroness.
Yeah, so they have their albums are all – the titles are color themed. So they put out the Red album. That was their first. Then the Blue record. And their last album was a double album called Yellow and Green back in 2011. They have a new album called Purple coming out in December. A couple tracks are out. But the crazy thing about this band is back in 2012, the band's bus, I think, was on their way – somewhere after a show in England, and there was really bad weather. The bus fell 30 feet from a viaduct.
What? Wow.
And like all the members of the band were injured. The lead singer guitarist like fractured his arm in several places and couldn't play guitar for a long time while he recovered. But they're back and they're putting out music again, and it's like this cool comeback story, and they're just melting faces.
30 feet? Wow.
Yeah.
Their bus, could you imagine being in a vehicle that fell 30 feet?
Yeah. Oh.
That's insane.
And they, no, I don't think anyone died in it, but they were all very badly injured.
It's pretty crazy.
So, wow. My daily dap, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's I'm dapping up all those folks who have to work retail on Black Friday. I say that as somebody who did that once. I once worked at the Gap on a Black Friday in a mall. And we were lucky because we didn't actually open until 6 o'clock in the morning, but the Macy's down the way opened at like 4. And I will never forget the image of people literally sprinting through the mall and people seeing us in their folding khakis and sweaters and getting ready and knocking on the glass wondering when we were going to open. Just the insane lines. It has become... to say madness is probably an understatement, to the point that people's safety and, is really in jeopardy in a lot of places. So if you're out there and you are shopping, I mean, good on you. Obviously, you're feeding the economy and you're helping us all be, semi-better humans.
Emphasis on semi.
Semi. Obviously, enjoy your day. Be safe. But for all those folks who had to get up early and either cut their Thanksgiving shorts or leave their families early in the morning – props to you. I don't envy you. I'd certainly, it's not fun.
Also, an undap to any store that starts their Black Friday
on
deals
Thanksgiving.
On Thursday.
What is up
absolutely.
With that?
That's
the new
terrible.
Thing now.
That's
Stop
absolutely
it.
Terrible.
We should
it.
Probably save all my hot takes on Black Friday for their political podcast.
Yes.
We'll do that later.
One quick positive daily dap before we get out of here. There's a part 4 of the Hanukkah song.
What?
Oh, nice.
Yes, there's a part 4 of the Hanukkah song. It includes mentions of Shia LaBeouf, Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Jared from Subway.
Excellent.
Oh, no. Check it out. So go look up Hanukkah song part 4. It's on YouTube, so that'll be
all right.
That'll be
one more quick dap.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is the WizKids.
Yes!
Birthday.
Happy birthday, Alex
Gellhart.
Happy
birthday, Alex Gellhart.
You're officially old now.
Yeah, dude. You're like
join the club.
Late 20s.
We're going to have to put Franchise and Gellhart in the fantasy retirement home soon.
You are officially
come on, bro.
Join us.
So we're playing shuffleboard out there?
Yep.
There you go. All right, let's get out of here, yo. That will do it for the newly old WizKid from Wisconsin, for the Franchise, for Matt Harmon. You need a nickname. I'm Marcus Grant, CFL Fantasy Live Podcast. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.